FDA clears inaugural drug for genetic disorder, signaling shift in rare disease development. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has granted its first-ever approval for a treatment targeting a rare genetic disorder, a regulatory milestone that resets the commercial ceiling for orphan drug developers and signals a fresh acquisition cycle in one of the most capital-efficient corners of healthcare mergers and acquisitions. Details of the specific approval, including the drug name, developer, and commercial terms, were not disclosed in the available source material. What is disclosed and what matters for institutional positioning is the category of the event, a first-in-class FDA approval for a rare genetic disease. That designation carries legal, commercial, and strategic weight that the broader market systematically underprices at the moment of approval. A first-in-class FDA approval for a rare genetic disorder is not a clinical event. It is a commercial monopoly with a regulatory moat, a patient registry, and a pricing ceiling set by what the healthcare system will bear. The nut paragraph is this: rare disease approvals do not stay independent for long. The history of orphan drug development since the Orphan Drug Act of 1983 shows a consistent pattern. Biotech developers reach approval, demonstrate proof of concept with a defined patient population, and then become acquisition targets within 24 to 36 months. For private equity and institutional capital, the question is never whether consolidation comes. The question is at what multiple and who moves first. Why first-in-class rare disease approvals command a premium multiple orphan drug designations confer 7 years of market exclusivity in the United States, a period during which the approved developer faces no generic or biosimilar competition for that indication. That exclusivity, combined with a typically small and well-characterized patient population, creates a revenue stream that analysts can model with unusual precision. The pricing power embedded in rare genetic disorders is structural. Enzyme replacement therapies, gene therapies, and RNA-based treatments for rare genetic conditions have historically carried annual per-patient costs ranging from the low six figures to above $1 million, depending on the mechanism and delivery modality. Payers have resisted but ultimately reimbursed because the alternative, managing the downstream complications of untreated rare genetic disease, costs more over a patient lifetime. Our view, the absence of disclosed financials in the initial approval announcement is standard operating procedure for FDA press releases. It does not diminish the strategic significance. The disclosed fact of first-in-class approval for a rare genetic disorder is itself the data point. Everything downstream, deal multiples, pipeline optionality, payer negotiation leverage, flows from that single regulatory event. The mergers and acquisitions playbook. How rare disease approvals become acquisition targets the acquisition logic in rare disease is well established. Large-cap pharmaceutical companies face patent cliffs on their blockbuster franchises and cannot replace that revenue through internal R&D alone. Rare disease assets, once approved, offer a specific solution: defined patient populations, established diagnosis pathways, specialist prescriber networks, and pricing power that broad market primary care drugs rarely achieve. The 2022 acquisition of Biohaven by Pfizer at a valuation above $11.6 billion and the 2023 acquisition of Seagen by Pfizer for $43 billion both illustrated the willingness of large pharmaceutical buyers to pay substantial premiums for assets with regulatory clarity. Rare disease assets with first-in-class status and orphan exclusivity typically transact at revenue multiples that reflect the scarcity of the asset, not the size of the patient population. What this signals: a first-in-class rare genetic disorder approval announced in 2026 arrives in a market where large pharmaceutical acquirers are simultaneously navigating Inflation Reduction Act drug pricing pressures on their Medicare-exposed portfolios. Rare genetic disorders, particularly those affecting pediatric populations or those with onset before age 18, often fall outside the IRA's Medicare negotiation scope because the patient population skews younger. That carve-out makes rare genetic disease assets more strategically valuable to acquirers in 2026 than they were in 2023, when the IRA's full commercial implications were still being modeled. Private equity capital in orphan drug. Where the money is positioned, private equity has moved steadily into rare disease over the past decade, primarily through two vectors. The first is direct investment in commercial stage rare disease companies that have achieved approval but lack the infrastructure to scale specialty distribution, patient support programs, and payer access teams. The second is buy-and-build strategies aggregating rare disease service businesses, patient advocacy platforms, newborn screening infrastructure, and specialty pharmacies that sit in the distribution chain for these therapies. A first-in-class approval creates immediate demand across both vectors. The developer needs commercialization infrastructure on an accelerated timeline. The payer access and reimbursement pathway for a novel rare genetic therapy requires specialized medical affairs, health economics outcomes research capabilities, and patient services that early-stage biotechs typically do not have at scale. Private equity-backed specialty service platforms that provide these capabilities on an outsourced basis benefit directly from every new rare disease approval. Our view: the highest probability private equity return in this cycle is not a direct equity stake in the approved developer. It is the infrastructure layer. Specialty pharmacy networks, patient identification platforms using genetic screening data, and rare disease contract commercial organizations represent lower risk, higher visibility cash flow businesses that compound with each new approval in the category. Regulatory timing. And the 2026 strategic context, the FDA's approval calendar in 2026 is operating in an environment shaped by two concurrent forces. The agency has maintained its commitment to accelerated approval pathways for rare and serious conditions, a policy direction that has survived multiple administrations because of its bipartisan support in Congress. At the same time, post-market confirmation study requirements have tightened following scrutiny of several accelerated approvals in prior years that did not demonstrate confirmatory efficacy. A first-in-class approval for a rare genetic disorder in this environment carries additional credibility. It is not an accelerated approval built on a surrogate endpoint with confirmatory data still pending. It is, based on the FDA's standard for full approval, a therapy with demonstrated clinical benefit on a meaningful endpoint. That distinction matters to acquirers performing due diligence and to institutional investors pricing the risk premium on the developer's equity. Note, exclusivity periods and designation cited reflect U.S. regulatory statute. Voucher historical values are based on publicly reported prior transactions and are noted as historical context, not current guaranteed values. The Placamium view the market reads a first-in-class rare disease FDA approval as a clinical win. Placamium reads it as the opening bid in an acquisition auction that has not yet started. Here is the second-order thesis that the source article does not make. The 2026 rare disease mergers and acquisitions cycle is structurally different from the 2021 to 2023 cycle, because the IRA has created a two-tier pharmaceutical asset market. Drugs with broad Medicare exposure are now subject to price negotiation risk that compresses their terminal value for acquirers. Rare genetic disorders, particularly those with pediatric onset and small Medicare population overlap, sit in the protected tier. They are not just good assets. They are good assets in a market where good assets are scarcer than they were 3 years ago. The implication for institutional capital is directional. Concentration in rare genetic disease developers, rare disease commercial infrastructure, and orphan drug royalty streams offers a defensible position against IRA-driven multiple compression elsewhere in biopharma. This is not a speculative thesis. It follows directly from the statutory structure of the IRA, the demographics of rare genetic disease patient populations, and the acquisition history of post-approval orphan drug assets. The risk is execution. Rare disease commercial launches fail when patient identification is slow, when payer reimbursement is delayed, or when the prescriber base is too diffuse to build momentum. First-in-class status does not guarantee commercial success. It guarantees competitive protection. The commercial outcome depends on infrastructure, and that is where capital deployment decisions should concentrate. The bottom line, a first-in-class FDA approval for a rare genetic disorder in 2026 is a deal catalyst, not just a clinical milestone. The regulatory moat is real. The pricing power is structural. The IRA creates a protected lane for rare genetic disease assets that did not exist with the same clarity in prior cycles. Institutional investors should be identifying the developer now, before the acquisition premium is priced in. Private equity capital should be moving toward the infrastructure layer, patient identification, specialty pharmacy, and rare disease contract commercial organizations that capture value from every approval in the category, not just this one. The acquirers are already in the room. The question is whether your capital is positioned before or after they announce the deal.